Okay, last week we started by saying that in general you shouldn't talk from the beginning of the bracha before shofar blowing all the way to the end of the tzkios after musaf. However, if there's a need, such as to explain davening, to make davening enhanced, is there any sort of allowance for a rabbi or a kiruv worker or a balabayitz to come along and say explanations about the tzkios shofar, about the malchiyot zichronot and shofarot? And we saw two reasons to be mekel, and I don't think it's even being mekel, I think it's mamish lechatchila. Number one, once you make a bracha and you started a mitzvah, you can talk. So if I made a bracha and I started to check for chametz, and then I got a phone call, you don't have to make another bracha. So here, we blew shofar before musaf. We blew at least 30 tkios before musaf. The mitzvah has already started, and therefore, there's no problem to talk after the mitzvah has already started. Perhaps you shouldn't, but there's no problem. You don't have to make another bracha. But the second issue, or the second reason why I thought it was mamish lechatchila, meaning you can do this and you should advise people to do this, is because the Ramah paskins on that same Shulchan Aruch that says don't talk, that you're allowed to talk about anything that's me'inyan hatfila v'atkios. In other words, talking about the news and politics is not right. But if you talk about anything that has to do with the tkiyah shofar or the davening, it's 100% permissible. So even though we usually announce what we announce before shofar blowing, and perhaps it's good discipline, in this case when there's a need, the need is people don't understand davening. From their perspective, they're praying in Chinese. Definitely, you can give explanations, one, because the mitzvah already started, and two, because everything you're going to say is connected to the shofar blowing, which is connected to the davening. Yes?
This reminds me, we spoke about when we make motzi, but we can ask people, well, where's the salt in that?
100%. That was one of the proofs of last week, that when you make a motzi, you can even ask, give me the salt.
So is it true for any bracha in general, that therefore the thing connected to the bracha is not a hefsek? And that would be the hefsek is the problem?
In general, I think that you have to prepare everything before the bracha to do the bracha, as we said, over la asiyatan, which is at the head of our source sheet, right away. But whatever happened, there wasn't salt on the table, you didn't notice beforehand. Yes, you're allowed to do it, 100%. So, I want to add three more reasons this week and just end on a different note regarding why I think this should be actually induced, or to be more precise, this is something that we should actually suggest to people who don't understand davening. And I hate to say this, but I don't believe that the typical Shomer Shabbos Jew that davens every day necessarily understands all the piyutim of Rosh Hashanah.
Guaranteed.
Thank you. Why do I say that? Because I'm a Shomer Shabbos Jew and I've been davening many years and I don't understand all the piyutim of Rosh Hashanah. Now, maybe it's something wrong with me. So I thought one year I am learning disabled. So I went to a specialist and I asked the specialist, listen, I got a problem. What's the problem? I told him this problem. I said, maybe I'm learning disabled. I don't understand the piyutim mul Elokim. I don't understand what it means. So he said, don't worry, I also don't understand. So I said, poop. You're a doctor. You're not learning disabled. You're right. We're all learning disabled when it comes to piyutim.
The language, you mean?
The language, the Hebrew. Every word there, it's nuanced. So therefore, I don't think that it's a good idea necessarily just to daven and say, we have davened. And again, every shul should make their own determination on this. But I believe that it's something that perhaps should be induced. Not necessarily done only because there's a need, there's people that don't understand. I'm saying, let's assume that even people that we think understand don't understand. Now, I want to give three more reasons why I think it's okay to talk during Musaf. Number three, we said we're not allowed to talk from the time we blow shofar to the time of the tkios after Musaf. Turns out that there are many Rishonim that disagree. If you look at the top of the page, you'll see that the Baal HaMor says,
We are not required
to Ga'arav and Nizifah. You recall last week, the head of the yeshiva heard someone talking, and if the davening reprimanded him. That's how this whole discussion started. That's how the Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to talk. So the Baal HaMor, on that words of the Rif, says, with due respect, no. Why? And the Ramban says it as well. Usually the Baal HaMor and the Ramban always disagree. Rav Sarchiya Halevi, who lived in a place called Lunel means the moon, So he wrote a perush on the reef, usually attacking the reef, called Hama'or HaKatan, the small Ma'or. If you know, God made the moon small. But when he got to Bava Kama... very good. Very good. But when he got, he said, I live in a small moon place, so I'm going to call my parish small moon. But when he got to Bava Kama, he felt, no, here you need a big moon. This you need better understanding here. It's not comprehensible. So he decided to call it Hama'or HaGadol. So he became the moon and the sun. In any case, on Meseches Rosh Hashanah, he's still the moon. And he says, with due respect, what's the bracha on shofar of Musaf? The bracha before Musaf, we make a bracha, Lishma Kol Shofar and Shechiyana. Got that. What's the bracha? Why don't we make a bracha in Musaf? So common wisdom would say, because you already made a bracha. And everything's one continuation. Comes the Baal Amor and says, and the Ramban says exactly the same thing, even though he usually disagrees, but the Ramban is more comprehensible. He says, no. Before Musaf, it's a mitzvah of blowing shofar and hearing shofar. What's the mitzvah in Musaf? When we blow shofar after Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, it's a mitzvah of davening. After all, in the Beis HaMikdash, on days of great joy, or on days of great stress, what would we blow? The Chatzvatzrot. So on Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of great stress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging all the world, including the Jewish people, we blow shofar as an enhancement of our davening. It's like you're not just going to wear a suit with a tie, you're going to wear cufflinks as well. It enhances your dress. It's like you're not just going to wear a suit and tie, you're going to wear a vest with it. Says the Ramban, tkios before davening is like any mitzvah. You have to hear the shofar. In davening, it's an enhancement of davening. And if you think about the Ramban a second, it makes perfect sense. Let me ask you a question. Sukkot night, you would be in the middle of davening. You'd say, Vatiten lanu et yom chag ha-sukkos hazeh zman simchateinu. And at that moment, you would run out of davening, go to your sukkah, make a leishev basukkah, eat in it, and come back to davening. Would there be anyone in the world that would say that's not a hefsek? Of course it's a hefsek. If on the night of Pesach, you would say, chag ha-matzos hazeh zman chiruteinu. And at that very moment, you would eat matzah. Would anyone in their right mind not say it's a hefsek? Of course it's a hefsek. So how come in Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar in the middle of davening, and no one says, hey, you're interrupting davening? So the simple answer is, because in the Birnbaum, Art Scroll, Koren, whatever machzer you use, it says to blow shofar, so we don't make trouble. We don't rock the boat. But now, let's not look in the machzer. Let's look at each other. Why isn't it a hefsek? Because it is part of davening. It's a different form of davening. There's davening with words, and there's davening by blowing shofar. Just like there's davening with words, and davening by blowing the chatzrotzros. It's a different form of davening. If you want my interpretation, I believe that davening with words is when you ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for something specific. And when you daven with the shofar, you basically say, God, I don't know what's right or wrong for the Jewish people. I'm throwing up the davening to you. You put it together for the best of the Jewish people. That's the shofar. You're basically throwing it back to God. And therefore there's a tkiah, which is a happy sound. And then there's a shvarim or trua, shvarim trua, which is a sad sound because we have many problems and we have many good things.
Is this the machloket where some don't want it blown in the middle of
Shemar Esrei? No. Everybody agrees you have to blow in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. The whole machlokas is, does that also spill over to your silent Shmoneh Esrei, or only Chazaras HaShatz? Okay? Most Rishonim say only in the Chazarat HaShatz, what we call the public Shmoneh Esrei, because the Gemara says that if you're davening at home in Rosh Hashanah, you don't blow shofar in Shmoneh Esrei, you only blow it, as the Gemara says, Bechever Ir, when you're davening with a minyan. The only machlokas is, does that spill over to the silent Shmoneh Esrei? Theoretically, it should. There's no difference. If it's not a hefsek for the chazan in Chazarat HaShatz, then it's not a hefsek for you in the silent Shmoneh Esrei. And indeed, Sfardim, as far as I know, do. Chasidim, as far as I know, do. Based on the shita of the Aruch, one of the Rishonim. Rav Soloveitchik did, but he advised his students not necessarily to do that in big shuls because it fatumels the whole shul. In the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, you all of a sudden hear shofar. But that's not a machlokas. Of course you blow in davening. So therefore, makes a long story short, both the Baal HaMor and the Ramban basically say that not only is it not connect, you're allowed to talk because of whatever reasons we said, but rather, you're allowed to talk because the bracha of Lishmo Kol Shofar has nothing to do with what you blow in Shmon Esrei. When you blow in the Chazaret HaShatz, it's a form of tefillah. When you blow before Chazaret HaShatz, it's music. Before Chazaret HaShatz, music, and there's a bracha on it. And during Chazaret HaShatz, it's a form of tefillah. It's a form of prayer. And therefore, the bracha before Shmon Esrei has nothing to do with the Chazaret HaShatz. Number four. Many, many times throughout Jewish history, there was a clash between the code of Jewish law and reality. And one of them is when people got very, very sick. And there was a great, great sickness. Now, people had to eat in the morning. What's the problem with eating in the morning? Halachically, what's the problem with eating before breakfast? Davening. It's before davening.
Yeah, so you're not supposed to eat before.
In addition, even though the Gemara does not say this explicitly with shofar, it says it with regard to lulav, the Gemara says, a Mishnah in Sukkah says, to be precise, that if you come home and you didn't bench lulav and esrog, you should bench lulav and esrog al shulchano. What does that mean, al shulchano? It means on your dining room table, meaning before you eat, you should bench lulav and esrog. From there, many derive, you can't eat before shofar blowing, which is also a mitzvah d'oraisa, and you can't eat, obviously, before davening. So, this was a big issue. A big issue. So what do people, what did they do? So if you have asked me, I would have said, well, in the yeshiva world, there's a problem on Rosh Hashanah. They like to daven long. On the other hand, you're not allowed to fast past chatzot of the day. On the other hand, the third hand that we don't have, you not only can't fast past chatzot, you're going to be hungry. So what did they do? After the haftarah, they break for a kiddush. They don't have a big meal. You're not allowed to have a big meal before Musaf, and you can't have a big meal before shofar blowing. But they break, and they make Kiddush. And then the rabbi gives a speech, and then they go ahead, and they blow shofar. Well, the Eshel Avraham and Rabbi Akiva Iger disagreed with this. And they both said the following. V'ish gab ken yesh la'akir lo achar tkiyot miyusha v'yedecha lishut kol shuhu shuhucha v'yishte ki gam sha tkiyot shamu'u b'hem gam ken nitzva v'takanat chazar b'kviyut mikom makom lo shayach dehem kol kach hashach shichecha kivan shem tfilot l'musav kemo shetiru chazar lifnei musav. Says the Eshel Avraham, Rav Avraham from Butach, when should you make your Kiddush? Not before shofar blowing. Between the shofar blowing of before Musaf and Musaf. Now, I thought this was crazy, but Rabbi Akiva Iger, this is already high league, says exactly the same thing. He said there was a big sickness in the city and people had to eat on Rosh Hashanah, so HaGaon Av Beistin Ubeitin Sedek in the city Modi'im Shekol Mishemargish Atzmo Chusha Kala Biyoter, whoever feels weak, Mechuyav, to eat. When? Techev achar tkiat shofar. Lalechet lebeito. Va'ochol aruchat boker ba'asiyat kiddush b'mkom suda. Va'av shuhu hefsek men tkiot demiyushav l'tkiot demu'umat. If you would have asked me, I'd say do it before. He says, no. Daven shachris. You're not supposed to eat before shachris. Lein kriyas ha-Torah of Torah. Blow the shofar. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Then go home and make your kiddush. And then come back to shul. So these two rabbanim, Rav Avraham from Uchach and Rabbi Akiva Iger, both quoted on the sides of the Shulchan Aruch, say you can eat between the tkiyos before Musaf and the tkiyos after Musaf. Kal v'chomer, you can talk about davening. If it's such a tzorech to eat, then it's definitely a tzorech to talk about davening, so davening will become better. So we found two reasons today. Number one is it could be that tkiyos and musaf have nothing to do with the tkiyos before musaf. They're two separate kinds of tkiyos, even though they sound alike. And number two, we found evidence that people are actually advised to eat between the first set of tkiyos and the second set of tkiyos. And finally, even if you don't agree with anything we said, we gave four reasons. Number one, you already started the mitzvah, you can talk. Number two, you're allowed to talk about tkiyah, anything that has to do with tkiyos and davening. Number three, many allow talking because they feel that the tkiyos before Musaf are different than the tkiyos during Musaf. Two separate things. The bracha doesn't have to do with this one. And number four, some people even allow eating them. Imagine, after we do the 30 tkiyos, you go out, make kiddush, come back. Let the chazan do hinani for 20 minutes. Everyone else will go out and eat and come back if there's a need. Obviously, I'm not advocating it. I think it's terrible if people would do this. The hinani is on behalf of all of us. But if there's a need, there's a need. And now comes number five. If you don't agree with anything I just said, you basically disagree. A, once you start the mitzvah and you talk, you should make a bracha again. B, you shouldn't talk at all, not about the tkiyos and not about davening. Three, those that allow talking, we don't paskin that way. Four, no, you shouldn't make your kiddush between the tkiyos before musaf and the tkiyos during musaf. Number five, Rama, v'im sacht v'im betelim, mitzvich l'sov v'levarech. And even if you disagree with everything we said, if you talk about things, stam, politics, you don't have to make a bracha again. Explains the Mishnah Berurah why. Ve'lo dami l'sach ben tfilin l'tfilin. Da'atam shtei mitzvot hein, ma she'en ken hacha da'kula chala mitzvahi. Ve'al kein, afilu sach v'rim betelim, ben tkiyot demiyushav atzman, en tzarich lachsov alevarech midi da'ayu, mi she medaber achar, she ta'am me'at min berkat ha'mosi, den tzarich lachsov alevarech da'kula chala sudahi. You ever make a motzi on Friday night? You ever cut the challah, eat a piece, and about a minute later, after you ate a kezayit, you start talking about things? You know, things. Not lashon hara, not rechilus, just, you know, things. Past the gefilte fish, that picture is a little crooked, I'm tired. You ever do that? Sure. Did you ever talk during your Shabbos meals? Sure. So how come you don't have to make a motzi again? Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's the same thing here. You made a bracha before. You started to blow shofar. You can talk. Just like when you make a motzi at the beginning of the Shabbos meal, and you talk about politics, how bad the rabbi is, how terrible the president is, how long davening is, how short davening is, the air conditioner is not working, I need to paint the house, whatever it might be, eventually you get to benching. Is there anyone in their right mind that would say you can't bench because it was a hefsek, you talked about everything in the world? You should only be talking about bread, cholent, and kogel. Anything out of that, you got to make another bracha. No one would say that. So says the Mishnah Berurah that you can definitely talk. And if you don't believe the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim from Radin, I'll give you a Hasidic Rebbe. Maybe the Hasidic Rebbe. The Balatanya. Who was the Balatanya? The first Lubavitcher Rebbe in the history of Lubavitch. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch for Hasidim called Shulchan Aruch Harav. V'im avar v'sach afilu dvarim b'telim, en tzarich zelzor v'levarech. Dein shayach hefsek be'emtza mitzvah achat. When you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, there's no hefsek. Kimo, like, hayoshev basukah v'alovesh tfilin, mutar l'suach. Let's say I sat in my sukkah, I made a leishev basukah, and I ate a piece of bread, and then Bruce came in, and I said, how you doing, Bruce? How's the family, the grandchildren? Does anyone in their right mind say, hey, hefsek? Make another bracha? No, you're in the middle of the mitzvah. Once you're in the middle of the mitzvah, it's okay. Second example, halovesh tefillin, mutar l'suach. You ever see in the middle of davening, a guy's wearing tefillin on his head and on his hand, and he talks? Have you ever seen such a thing? Hopefully, you've never seen it, but I hate to say this, I did. And guess what? No one says that he has to make another bracha. Now, if he takes off his tefillin to relieve himself in the washroom, he does have to make another bracha. But if his tefillin's on, he's in the middle of the mitzvah, he doesn't have to. So therefore, if we're in the middle of the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, and you have a need to talk, and here the need is for davening, you absolutely can talk, you don't have to make another bracha. More than that, and this is very important, if you're in shul with your children or grandchildren, and they ask you a question, do not be a monkey answering them, unless they understand you. The answer is yes or no. You can go like this with your head or like this with your head. But if they need something and you go, believe me, that will interrupt davening far more than just telling them, no, it's right outside. Please go outside. You're in the middle of the mitzvah. You're allowed to talk. So based on these five reasons, I believe that in shuls we should make the announcement of not talking. I think it's good discipline once, twice a year that people should not talk. However, when there is a need, and we found a need to explain davening and enhance davening, I believe it is 100% not only mutter, it should be advocated and actually motivated by the rabbis to do so if there is a need. And you should not worry about this Shulchan Aruch, because we found five different reasons why it would probably be okay. Yes, Bruce?
Could it be that it's sort of a gzera that people figure, listen, we're going to talk, when you have a need, you'll come to talk when you don't have a need?
The answer is not a gzera, simply because a gzera is only something that Chazal can make within the Gemara. There's no gzera basman hazeh. We don't make gzeros beyond the Gemara. And therefore, to say it's a gzera, would have to find some evidence of it in the Gemara. There is no evidence of it in the Gemara anywhere. It comes out of Rishonim, so it's not a gezerah. It's not something that you have to do. Again, I'm saying once again, I don't think we should advocate talking about politics in the middle of davening any day of the year, and especially not in Rosh Hashanah. But when there is a need, and we found a need, I believe it's okay. And therefore, I think, just to end off, it's very important, especially during this year, to understand halacha properly and to understand reality properly. And if you don't have those two hands, reality and the one, and halacha and the other, it's going to be very hard to lead Jewish communities in the future. And that's basically what we're trying to do around this table. To understand and comprehend and analyze reality on the one hand, and to understand and analyze halacha on the other. If we don't have that combination, I am very nervous about the future. If you go to a shul where almost no one understands davening, and it's a long Rosh Hashanah Musaf, and they're there, for whatever reason, they're there. And you don't put in a little explanation, a 30-second here, a 30-second there. You have created a situation where people went out of davening and you asked them, what did you do today? And they will answer you, I have no idea. We have to get to a situation where we keep halacha, but we understand reality and we make sure that they walk hand in hand. And this is one example of it. Small example. But one example of it, where common practice would be, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. But when you actually analyze halacha, you find out, hey, talking is not what you thought it was. Just like when you analyze reality, you're going to find out, hey, reality is not what I thought. I didn't know people didn't understand davening. I didn't know that when they say, who shall live and who shall die, they have no idea what you're saying. Didn't know that. Rav Henkin. You should live a long life. Rav Henkin wrote a beautiful, beautiful shut called B'nai Banim. Within this shut of B'nai Banim, he also has a little part of it that's put into English. I forgot what it's called. Various issues that have to do with feminism and Judaism. I think it's called something along those lines. And in there, there's a chapter I'll never forget. It's called, Who Shall Live, Who Shall Die, La 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 La. And I'm sure you've seen Chazanim like that. They sing parts of davening which are so sad and solemn in such a way that is happy clappy. Who shall live? Who shall die? Let's happy and clappy ourselves. Rav Soloveitchik couldn't understand when he got to Germany, how come we sing the vidui? I sing! And he tried to give an explanation for it. But how many chazanim do we know take the parts of davening that are so happy and sing it in a sad tune? And takes the parts of davening that are so sad and solemn and breaking of the heart, and they start singing like they're in the middle of Hallel. So if this is the situation today, we have to understand halacha, and God forbid we're not going to go ahead and violate one iota of halacha. And on the other hand, we have to understand reality in order for people to come out of shul on Rosh Hashanah and say, we went through an experience. And hopefully with that genuine experience, God will decree upon us a wonderful, good, and year of significance, of happiness, of health, for us and for our families. Aktiva b'chatima tov, everyone.